All right, this last chapter here, Adventures of Faith. This is a chapter that really hit home for me. So he starts off with this verse here about faith in Hebrews 11. And it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He says this, it's always exciting to give God a chance to work. God wants you to be a part of what he is doing. That's important. God doesn't want to stop working. So it's important for us to discover what he wants to do. And then he goes on. The way we discover how God wants to work is to venture out in faith. Step out and see what the Lord might do. But as we step out, there has to be a guard against presumption. A lot of people make serious mistake by falling back on human effort when God's hand obviously is not in it. Sometimes we can get so committed to something that our reputation seems to be on the line. Then we start pumping extra energy and effort into a program that wasn't of God to begin with. I ventured out many times only to discover that God wasn't in it. What do? Then you retreat. I love it. It's just so simple. So he's basically saying, you know, and I wouldn't even call this a distinctive of, well, it is a distinctive of Calvary Chapel, but this is the Christian life, man. I mean, this is literally the Christian life. How many times does the Lord put something on your heart that's scary? Or that's just a bit nerve-wracking, man. You just got full of anxiety. Maybe it's a conversation he wants you to have. Maybe it's somebody he wants you to forgive. Maybe it's a phone call he wants you to make. Maybe it's sharing the gospel with someone. And you're just nervous. And, you know, I think of Peter stepping out onto the water. I mean, what better illustration of taking literally a step of faith, pun fully intended. You know, the Lord says, Peter, step out. And Peter steps out because his eyes are fixed on the Lord. His eyes are fixed on the Lord. But what happens once he starts looking around, once he starts to get his focus off of the Lord and look at the wind and the waves, then he sinks. I mean, what a perfect object lesson of a venture of faith. It's such a good word. You know, God is going to call us to do things that sometimes are not going to make sense. That sometimes are just going to be like, Lord, I believe you're leading me this way, God. I might not have all, you know, it all figured out. I might not have all the evidence and all the details, Lord, but I know you're calling me to do this thing, and I just got to trust you. This is a faith walk, man. That doesn't mean that you walk in credulity, like you have zero direction at all. That's not what he's saying. He's just simply saying that there are going to be times where God's not going to write it in the sky, so to speak. And God's going to call us to walk by faith, to take his word, stand on it, and just walk by faith. By way of personal application, you know, we've been praying about this building down the road. And the heart has prayerfully always been, Lord, whatever you will. But we're going to keep moving forward. We're going to keep praying about this thing. We'll take little steps. And if you close the door, then amen, Lord. But if you continue to open the door, then, hey, we're going to venture out in faith here, Lord. The key is this, though, the heart. That's the key. What is the heart behind it? There are people that do things in the name of the Lord, but it's just what they want to do. And, you know, there are people that will go out and just clearly the Lord's not in it. But because their motive is to want to look successful or to say that I did something or whatever it is, they will try to keep that thing going. So, for example, say we tried to get in this building and there was just no funding. We didn't have the funds. Say we had $10,000 in the bank and it needs $120,000 worth of work. And, you know, I was just like, no, we got to get in this building. We got to get in this building because then we're going to be a successful church. That would be a heart that's wrong because nothing's lining up. There's no like gray area. It's just no, it's not realistic. That's not something that we should be doing. Maybe the congregation is like, no one else is seeing any of the vision. And those are good indicators of maybe we should rethink this a little bit. But there are going to be times where we may not have all the answers. and the hearts are right and God's in it, and there's, you know, clearly the Lord moving in a direction. And those are the times where Chuck's talking about where you say, all right, Lord, I think you called me to do this thing, but Lord, help me to know if you're still not in this. And there has to be that heart that is simply just raising the white flag, so to speak, and just saying, Lord, I'm surrendered. Here I am. I don't know what you want to do, but I want to be a part of what you're doing. So let's find out what it is you want to do. And he talks about in the chapter too about people, men and women that are just available. If you just have a heart that is available for the Lord, he'll do amazing things. He's just looking for people that are willing to say, Lord, here I am. I don't need the, you know, this is why I love Moses. Moses didn't need the accolades. He didn't want the glory. He just wanted to know God. He just wanted to know the Lord's ways. And in the book of Numbers, you know, God would come down to Aaron and Miriam, and he would say, hey, guys, because they were complaining against Moses because Moses took an Ethiopian wife, and they were complaining against him, saying, oh, does the Lord only talk to Moses? So he basically told them, hey, come out and stand in front of me. And God said to them, hey, other prophets and other people, I speak to them in dreams and visions, but not so with my servant Moses. Why? Because Moses' heart was right before the Lord. Moses just wanted what God wanted. And that's all God is looking for. He's not looking for men and women that have it all figured out. He's not looking for, you know, the certificates and the degrees. And all that stuff is good. Don't get me wrong. All that stuff is great. I would love to go to college and get all the degrees. But at the end of the day, God's just looking for a heart. He's just looking for someone that may not have it all together. And I think God, I mean, that's right up God's alley. People that are just a mess. That's right up his alley. He loves to take the impossible and show himself strong. He loves to take the man or the woman whose heart is just loyal and to show himself strong on behalf of them, because then he gets all the glory. But as we venture by faith, and as you walk out by faith in different areas of our lives, at the end of the day, I mean, that's what it is. This is a faith walk. And the only way to please God, the scriptures say, is to walk by faith. In page 125, so he says, stepping out in faith and seeing what God wants to do is what you might call testing the waters. And on page 125, he says, don't fight God if he isn't in it. If we find, or you find, or I find that God isn't in something, you got to remember, he has plans. It's not as if he's holding out on you. You know, it's not as if he wants to just make you miserable and destroy us. He doesn't dangle a carrot in front of us, so to speak. He has good plans. But it's up to us to walk by faith and say, all right, Lord, maybe this thing isn't what you have, but I trust that you're good and you have something else for me. So, Lord, I'm going to lay this thing down and I'm just going to continue to do X, Y, Z, or whatever it is that I know for sure you're calling me to do. He says, page 131, he says, the key to discover what God wants to do, I found the best way is by just stepping out. Try it and see. Maybe God will work. Maybe God wants to work. Let's give him a chance. But again, always have an attitude. If it doesn't work, let's not push it. Maintain that flexibility of being able to walk away from a project. If it's obvious that it isn't working, then don't push to try and make it work. Why are you going to push to try to make something work that God's just not in? He doesn't want to do. You know, Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It's vain for us to sit up late, to rise up early, to eat the bread of sorrows. He gives his beloved sleep. He wants to bless his people. The glorious thing about all this is that God desires to use us. He could totally just do everything on his own. I mean, think about this for a second. But he wants to use you. He wants to use me. So it's like, you know, we might slow him down a little bit, but he still desires to use us. You know, I use the analogy. I've heard the analogy sometimes. Like if I'm painting a wall or painting in my house, doing a renovation, you know, my son will come up to me and say, hey, Dad, can I help? And yeah, sure, it's going to slow me down like a whole day, but sure, you can come and help. And that's kind of the way it is with the Lord. Like, look, we want, and the Lord gives us those opportunities. You know, we're like little children that, you know, want to help the Lord. He allows us to. He allows us to. But it's amazing to me that God wants us to help. It's amazing to me that God's desires to use us, man. He desires to use you and me, and He wants to use us. And the way to figure out how to do that is to pray and to seek Him and to get counsel and to talk about these things. But at the end of the day, there's going to come a point where you venture out in faith and you say, "All right, Lord, here I go. Here I go, Lord. Stop me if I'm wrong, but Lord, open doors if this is the way you lead me to go." And the heart should always be to glorify God. Every decision we make should always be, "Lord, for your glory, God. I want to do this thing to glorify you. I want to do this thing because I'm enamored by your love, God. I'm just amazed by who you are and the joy you bring to my life. And I want other people to experience this." And if you have that heart, I believe the sky's the limit. If your heart is right before the Lord, the sky's the limit. He kind of switches gears a little bit and he says, "When we build a monument to remind ourselves of what God did in the past, that's always a sad day." And the implication is, you're reminding yourself of what went on in the past because nothing's going on in the present. That's kind of the implication that he's saying. And I got to be honest, I do this with Calvary Chapel. I mean, the 60s and the 70s, it was a booming movement. And I catch myself sometimes saying, "Oh, Lord, you did that." Even in my own walk, "Oh, Lord, you did that thing 10 years ago. You saved me 10 years ago. It was amazing." And then I always, you know, God always has to get me back and say, "Yeah, and what am I doing today? What do I want to do now? I don't want to just work the way I was working 30 years ago. I have a new work I want to do, and I want to use you to do it." And Chuck gives the example, you know, back in the days of Calvary Chapel, early days, they would do these concerts on Saturday night, and they were phenomenal. Kids were getting saved, youth were coming in, they were getting saved. And then years went by, and that, you know, the Lord started to move in a different way, and people came up to him and said, "Hey, why don't we do those Saturday night concerts again? It was great, great idea, you know." And people will come in, and I'm sure there was an excitement behind this. And this kind of ties into what we were talking about, I think, last week or the week before. And Chuck says, "We started those things, and the spirit just wasn't in it. People weren't coming out, and it just wasn't a thing." Now, at that moment, you could either continue to try to get that thing to work, or you can just say, "All right, the Lord's not in this. Let's swallow our pride. That's the real issue. And let's move on to something else. Or let's try to keep this thing alive in our own flesh." And too many times, myself included, we try to keep things going that the Lord is just not in. And it's way better to just pack up and just say, "All right, Lord, well, where are you moving? Do you want to do something else? Do you want to, should I go somewhere else or do something else," or whatever it is? And I think that is the better way. Rather than just to try to keep thinking, you know, try to keep something going that the Lord is just simply not in. And then he kind of ends, he says, "Discover the will of God and then jump into it. Basically, get your heart in harmony with His, and you'll be amazed at what God will do and how God will bless." And then he ends with this: "The eyes of the Lord are going to and fro throughout the entire earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him." Basically, people that are just committed to him. People that are just committed, trusting him, following him, looking to him. You know, and just kind of last note on this. It's important just to keep that heart. The heart that just says, "Lord, whatever you want to do." You know, I can't, there are times when people want to get involved or do something or add something to the church, or they have really good ideas, and we want to do those things and see those things happen. I mean, I have ideas upon ideas, but I just know in my spirit that that's probably not what the Lord wants to do. You know, and we have to be willing to just say, "All right, that's a great idea to me. You know, it's a great idea to me, but it might not be what the Spirit wants to do." And it's important that we keep that mentality of, "Lord, what do you want to do? What's the focus here?" But ventures of faith, there is a time where God's telling us to step out. He does want to do something. Maybe there is an idea that the Lord does want to implement. And we're scared or nervous or whatever it is because of the workload or whatever it's going to take. And the Lord's saying, "Nope, step out. step out. I'm going to go before you in this thing, and I'm going to give you step-by-step directions. You know, think of Abraham. I mean, the father of faith. And God said to him, hey, Abraham, go out from your family, go out of Ur of the Chaldeans and go to this place. I'm going to show you. And God gave Abraham step-by-step directions. He did the first thing, then he gave him the next step. Then he did that, and then God gave him the next step. And many times I have found personally that's how the Lord works. He oftentimes doesn't give me the whole picture. He just says, do this thing, and I'll give you the next step once you get to X, Y, Z. Probably because I just can't handle it. I just can't handle all the, you know, all of the full picture, so to speak. But Ventures of Faith. Any questions, comments about this chapter? It's a solid, really good, encouraging chapter. But nothing? Got this one all figured out, too?
It's all good.
Well, I don't know. I think it's exciting. You know, I look at this church plant, and it's exciting to see where the Lord has taken us in 13, 14 months. And, you know, I've often found myself saying, like, I'm a spoiled dude. I'm a spoiled guy. I mean, the people that the Lord has brought here, the people that the Lord is, I mean, even in your own lives, you guys can attest to this. I mean, think back to the thing, the way the Lord has moved in your lives and those times where you have said, all right, I'm going to take a step out here. I mean, even salvation. All right, Lord, I can't see you. I don't know what you're doing. I don't understand how the Spirit's moving, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to receive you, God. I'm going to receive this free gift of salvation based on the evidence of the Word of God. You know, I mean, that's a venture of faith. It really is. And then you come to the Lord and you look back. I mean, look back on your lives. I look back on my own life. I'm like, that's unbelievable. I mean, never thought I'd be married. Never thought I'd have six kids. Never thought I'd be a pastor. You know, but, and don't get me wrong, there were some, many of this, there were some, you know, moments where I'm just going haywire. But there are those times where you take the Lord at his word and you look back and the Lord's just directing your steps the whole way. It's just amazing. So we gotta, you know, as Christians, this is a walk of faith. It is absolutely a walk of faith. It's important to make sure that we're just simply trusting the Lord. So, all